Okay, we are a little bit behind here. We had a little bit of technical difficulties for those of you listening to this sermon whenever it plays a second time, but I got to get my notes here for prepping for the latter rain. That's today's sermon, and just a little bit more information on the latter rain. We've done a few, I've done a few sermons on this. I think Sean and Eli have touched on this before. I'm sure Andre has as well. Oh, and by the way, you guys, like Eli, Sean, Andre, as soon as we get all the bugs and the kinks kicked out of this thing, you can download XSplit. I'll give you the RTMP data that you're going to need to push through XSplit, and it's free. And you can do your own stream, you know, for the 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock hours and all that stuff if you want. Just let me know. You can do a live stream with that. But I think most people like the radio. We're up to 220 families now. So now I can see how the 282 families last week really was a legit number. So we haven't broken that record yet, so praise the Lord. But I don't like talking numbers, even though I bring it up a lot, but people want to know. So for those of us that are seeking to partake in a latter rain, would it not make sense unto all of us that in order to be blessed with the rain, we must first be considered a friend unto the Lord Jesus Christ? And how do you, you know, do that? I mean, well, look at what Jesus says here. Let me put the notes up, as I just realized. You got the notes. If you're on WTPR, you know where they're at. They're underneath. One of the links will show, you know, audio and notes on one of those. I don't know which one. Okay, there we go. So give it 5 seconds. Oh, no. I have to give it 5 seconds, but I'm not streaming anywhere. So I just got to trust you guys that the stream's working. But check out John 15, verse 14. And I forgot to put a space between that one and Ezekiel, as well as Revelation. So I'm sorry about that. It says, this is Jesus talking. He says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Okay, that ought to sober up some hearts. I mean, many don't realize there are conditions to be met if, in fact, we are to be friends with Christ. I mean, we are his friends only if we obey him, he says. And it's not about wanting him to be, you know, like a tyrannical or, you know, the king or anything like that, because, as we all know, our Lord only wants what's best for us. He's all about love. Plus, his law is the law of the land in his kingdom, which, if obedient, becomes our literal residence for all eternity. And we just know that, okay, this is the law of the land. And where you live, you're going to have to deal with laws, right? I mean, don't the kings of the world command obedience as well? I mean, if you disobey the governments, like even a local jurisdiction, like an ordinance of a city, if you break that, don't they kind of like give you some trouble? You can literally end up behind bars, right? So why then should our God be less of a king unto us, seeing how he is the King of Kings? Truth is, his kingdom is literally what all other kingdoms on earth are fashioned after. The way he structures the laws of his land, the only difference is he has 10 laws. That's how wise he is. It covers the gamut. Whereas in 1 year, I always remember it as Obama set up 44,000 regulations and laws in 1 year. In 1 year, 44,000. And it was all geared towards making it that much more difficult to have a small business. Why? Well, they're trying to destroy the small businesses so as to force a socialist society where the government pays all your bills now. You don't own anything. You just rent your home from the government. You rent your car from the government, whatever. And if you don't do as the government says, there goes your car, there goes your house. In other words, if you can't buy and sell, right? That's where they have to be in order to enforce the mark. That's why I've been saying that for decades. You got to have a social society. And so that's the reason for the lockdowns, too. And for people that think I'm crazy and don't believe me on that, riddle me this. Because we all know about Walmart's connection with the U.S. government. And it kind of let the cat out of the bag when they started putting cameras in there. If you see something, say something, with those videos of that one woman, I can't remember her name, inside Walmart. in Walmart. Walmart was always a step ahead when it came to doing things for, you know, for the government, as well as whenever Walmart truckers have an empty, they call in letting the guys know, okay, I just dumped my load. Where am I going next? You know, because that's just the job, I guess, right? And sometimes they have to go to a government facility and let them use the empty semi for free for the U.S. government. That's the connection. That's how close the connection is with the U.S. government. I'll explain why I'm saying this in a minute. And the only reason we found out about that is because way back when I was still on the radio, I came across some information about a trucker that trucked for Walmart that got pulled over because he was heavy. Because you got to go to a weigh station. So before he can leave the weigh station, they have him pull over and they got to check his load. They got to open it. And so they open it up and they found out that the load was heavy. And guess what was in there? Just a bunch of signs. Tens, well, probably hundreds of thousands of signs. Because they're going to put these signs multiple times in one city. So you need hundreds of thousands of signs. And what do the signs say? This city is under martial law. I kid you not. And he had to deliver that. Still, he had to take off a couple of crates and finish his delivery. And so, this is why everything's fashioned the way it is. And the thing with, I'm just going to skip this for now, because I'm going way too deep. And but I recall someone telling me years ago about, you know, Sister White saw Enoch training a vine on another planet. I went looking for it the other day. I couldn't find it. And so, but think about that for a moment too, if you will. The people on the other worlds have been living their lives for the last 6,000 years, and they know all about what we on Earth have been created to do for them as ambassadors for Christ throughout eternity. That being the case, do you seriously think, I mean, if you honestly believe the Bible, then you know Enoch, Elijah, and Moses are up there, along with the 24 elders, right? We don't actually know who the 24 elders are, but we do know Enoch, Elijah, and Moses in regards to how they lived their lives and what they did. So do you honestly think that Enoch, Elijah, and Moses, who we all know are in heaven, do you think they actually stopped preaching? I mean, when speaking of the obedient people that arise at the second coming, that they and all that are alive at that time, you know, like the Gideon band, all of them, all these heaven-bound children of God, we know the Bible says they're going to reign with Christ. It's right there in Revelation 20, verse 6. That's the next verse in the stack right there, right? And it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." That's at the second coming. First coming was, of course, 2,000 years ago. And so, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." That's at the third coming, you know, in the hellfire thing. But, now check it out, "they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years." Now, many Christians today ignore the fact that all those planets up there have people on them. And no, they do not look like little green men. God created man in his image. Now, what I'm about to say is probably going to shock some of the babes in Christ that don't know some of the things that we as a body of believers, the Seventh-day Remnant people, know, as well as other people that believe as we do. But just because these people are on different planets, it doesn't change how they're created by this God. Now, granted, when we're ambassadors, it's somewhere in Sister White's writings in regards to the seal on our foreheads will be visible with our new name and all that. And so when we go to be on these other planets, we're not going to have a blank forehead like everybody else has today and all over the planets, right? We're going to have evidence that, yeah, we're from that city in the center of the universe, the one everybody calls New Jerusalem. Yeah, where God lives, yeah, that's where we're from. And they're all going to know it, right? And so, and there's a reason I'm sharing all this. those of us that delved in the occult before finding Christ, we know that the little green man are alien, and they think that they're cute little aliens or something like that. Well, think again. The very first record of a demon appearing to a person did in fact do so in the shape of what we call today an alien. And in the Book of Magic, Satan appears as a stick figure body with a bunny head. That's why you'll see the capital of the United States of America has the big nose, and you got the cul-de-sacs behind it with, and I'll show this after church if you want. I got pictures. The cul-de-sacs behind the building are shaped like bunny ears, and then you got the Masonic square in the streets formed that lead up to that building that look like the stick figure body that you find in the Book of Magic as the first apparition of Satan. But any occultist will tell you that, and they're laughing their heads off their shoulders when they find out that moms and pops are out there buying their children stuffed animals that look like little green men. Or they buy an Alienware computer. I was so tempted because of the toys under the hood, but no, I'll build my own system for cheaper anyway. But who wants to look at that alien face on the front of your computer all day long, knowing it means it's actually a demon? I mean, think about this. The parents buy their children the stuffed toys that look like these so-called aliens. Rock singers like David Bowie sing about loving the alien. I never heard the song. I actually was doing some research years ago when I was on the radio, and I came across an album cover where he's like raising his hands to heaven or something like that, and it's called Loving the Alien, and he's all, you know, it's just disgusting. But plus, the U.S. government is right now pushing the normalization of aliens, and we all know that the Vatican started the alien agenda centuries ago, and I got a page on the website all about this, with the paintings, pictures of the paintings where you can zoom in and look at them, where they show UFOs impregnating Mary and, you know, UFOs being there in these important periods in the history of Christianity. So, my point in all this is, the Bible says we're going to reign with Christ. So, I got to ask, as I would think everybody's got to ask, how does a king reign over another king? Unless the king is a vassal king or a subservient king. You know, like Zedekiah was to Nebuchadnezzar. He wasn't really a king. He had to listen to, he had to pay taxes to Nebuchadnezzar. So that's called a vassal king. Okay, so we're not going to be vassal in heaven. You know, that's not how it's done. I mean, the least in heaven are only mentioned by example. They're just not there. They're not there. And so we're going to reign with Christ as ambassadors to those other worlds that we can see when we look into the heavens every night. I praise God for the new telescopes and stuff, and the Voyager thing that just left our a couple three years ago left our galaxy, not our galaxy, our solar system. And the scientists were shocked. I just came across this last week, and I think I put the article on the site, where they were shocked in regards to how dense the field is outside our solar system. They thought it was going to be a great expanse of just nothingness. But even there, they're seeing tens of billions of galaxies, which means tens of trillions of planets in each galaxy. We're just in one galaxy called the Milky Way. When you look up at night, that cloud you see up there on a cloudless night, if you don't live in a city, you can see the cloud. It's not a cloud. That's one of the arms of our spiral galaxy called the Milky Way. It's called Milky because there's so many stars, it looks like a cloud, but they called it milk for some goofball reason. But think about this for a moment. Since we know Enoch, Elijah, and Moses, as well as the 24 elders that arose when Christ arose, since we know they are in heaven and they are continuing to glorify Christ, is it not understood that as they share truth with these unfallen trillions, would they not know that most of us on this world were not going to pass the test for being here and therefore never be used of God as ambassadors of Christ for all eternity? That's sobering. That's scary. I mean, that has to sadden them on the other worlds, knowing that when thinking of us, they wonder, why did these people on earth want to die? It's so stupid. I mean, when they could be so happy without any turmoil, any poverty, any sickness or sadness for all of eternity, 10 billion trillion years from now, it's still day one. It's not ending. And you're happy as a lark. And you know it's never going to end. This reality has to sink in. We are the only people in the universe that have been chosen by God out of all those trillions and trillions and trillions of galaxies with all those trillions and trillions of planets with people on them. We are to be a special people for all eternity, because Satan was only cast to Earth. He wasn't cast to any of those other, you know, worlds to tempt those people on inside those trees, the tree of life. So we're going to be ambassadors to his son, you know, of our God, to Jesus Christ, for trillions upon trillions of people. Why would anyone give up such a chance to share their happiness in Christ with so many precious souls? Don't you get excited when you share your faith? I know I do. And so when you're tested with turmoil, poverty, sickness, and even sadness, pass your test. We all have certain tests. Some of us have to go through a life of annoyance with people all around us that don't believe, in constant aggravation, because Satan's, you know, he's unrelenting. He's going to go and do what he does. Some of us may even be born without a limb or something, right? Some of us are born blind. Remember that one guy? And the apostles even asked the Lord, why was he born blind? And Jesus told them, no. They thought it was because of sin he did or his parents. He says, no. It's so that I can be glorified. And so he heals them. Or the guy at the pool of Bethesda, same thing. Or the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, same thing. The guy at the pool, 38 years. Some people, they're sick their entire lifetime. Look at Stephen Hawking. We were talking about this the other night when we were doing our nightly study. Stephen Hawking lived after he got married, he started getting sick. Because he looked normal up until, I don't know, a couple, 3 years after he got married. Then he got sick. And then he was all crippled up, became an atheist, hated God. That was his test. Will you go through your entire lifetime in that sick state and still not deny your God? Seriously, remember what Sister White said in the Patriarchs and Prophets thing that I read, you know, a couple weeks ago? If you knew what was at the end of your trial, you'd say, yes, Father, I'll do that. Because think about it, this down here is just a test. You can live a whopping 70, 80, 90 years. Whoop-de-doo. You know, that's not even a drop in a bucket in eternity when you're going to have tens of trillions of years. And then it's just starting. And I always say it's just starting because it's a never ending. It's called eternity. You know, remember what the Lord told Ezekiel to say unto those that disobeyed him, you know, disobeyed the Lord? He said in Ezekiel 33:11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? And as Bible students, do we not know that we are the house of Israel in the eyes of God? Yeah, we do. Only those that obey the Lord can be called his children or his friends, as Jesus has said in John chapter 15 earlier. But for the babes among us, see my Who is Israel page on my website when you get time. It's link number one in the stream or the notes. Okay, you just scroll down. It's link number one, Who is Israel? All right. So for those of you on the stream, you actually saw me scroll it up and down, I am assuming. And so, and be sure to check out the bottom of that page when you get there, by the way, because I built a brand new section there, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago, about replacement theology. That's link number two, because the Jews and many that believe their lies have been declaring replacement theology is a lie. The Jews are still the chosen people. This is why everybody, including Trump, all of them believe that the Jews are the chosen people of God. Come on, we're in the age of lying. How many times have we caught politicians lying? You don't think they've been lying for the last 100 or so years in regards to the Jews being chosen people? How could they be chosen when they deny Jesus Christ, their own Messiah, as everybody's Messiah? It's really strange, but, you know, it's the age of lying. It's the last days, you know. You didn't have to put up with this stuff a couple, 300 years ago. But then you also had to deal with the Inquisition. Rome out there just blood-curdling everything they could. So anyway, that all being said, how many of us have heard the term prepper? The dictionary actually defines them as such. It says this, and this is, I think, thefreedictionary.com is where I got this. And I got it in the quotes section. It's the only quote I got this week. And so it says, one who prepares for possible dangers such as natural disasters, societal collapse, or nuclear war as by stockpiling necessary supplies or acquiring survival skills. So that's a prepper. Okay. Years ago, people would laugh and suggest such people would need to get a good, strong supply of tinfoil to keep their heads well covered. But today, you know, because they all told me, yeah, you got to get a tinfoil bonnet. Today, I don't think many people are laughing anymore. I mean, we look around and literally see our government going nuts with all sorts of political theater as well as unjust laws that openly break the Constitution of every nation on earth, including the USA. I mean, come on. They started openly breaking the Constitution in the United States of America, where most states say you have to buy car insurance. That's against the Constitution. You can't force people to buy a product. But they did it. Got away with it. And so, yes, I would think the laughing has ended for the most part, and many people are becoming preppers so as to protect their lives, their fleshly, mortal lives. What billions are missing, in fact, is Satan is the one that is very busy creating all sorts of distractions to keep people focused on their flesh so as to not prep for what's really coming. They think it's climate change. The Bible says the second coming. Without a 7-year trib, by the way, or a secret rapture. Ain't going to be secret. Every eye's going to see him. You know. So, but those preppers, and strangely enough, many of them call themselves Christians, and they are, to the best of their ability. The Lord's going to wink at their times of ignorance, too. Nothing wrong with this, other than the Lord will eventually open up their eyes and say, hey, you're putting a lot more faith in your ability to prepare for yourself than to prepare for me, for the Lord, his return, right? Look at the Mormons. I mean, seriously, when the store shelves empty and the Civil War begins in the USA, which was prophesied to happen, and it's going to happen soon, who do you think the people that are muscle-bound and carrying all sorts of weaponry going to focus on when they need food? Everybody knows Mormons stockpile food. So they thought that they're doing all this to prep for all that's coming, when in fact it's just putting a big old target on their house. So they're all following Satan's lead, all the preppers. They're following Satan's lead in that they are all busy doing all they can to protect their physical lives while ignoring the fact that their spiritual lives are headed for certain death and their bodies slated for hellfire. And some will say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a strong Christian, I even keep Sabbath, but I'm prepping just in case we can't buy and sell, I'll have food. Oh, really? You don't believe the promise of the Lord in regards to our bread and water shall be sure? And so, yes, I mean, the signs of a global reset, you know, that will lead to a socialist new world order are in absolutely every nation now, proving that the one world government's already here. We already know it. Yeah, the Club of Rome has been very active behind the scenes, as many of us know, since April of 1968. That's link number 3, by the way, in my stack of links down there on the sermon notes. But their agenda was always discussed behind closed doors, and when someone mentioned it out in the open, they were ridiculed as a conspiracy theorist so as to spin the truth under the rug. You know, like the term New World Order. That was first made public by Hitler on February 1st, 1933. That's link number 4. I actually have a picture from someplace, I can't remember where I got it, where they have a quote underneath it with the date. So whenever someone mentioned that term, New World Order, they were ridiculed and laughed at, and just, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're a crazy person, right? But after George Bush Sr. used it multiple times in one speech he did some years ago, all of a sudden the politicians said that there was no such thing. All of a sudden they started echoing the exact same term left and right all over the place. These guys are dyed-in-the-wool liars, just like Hollywood actors. They won't. They're going to lie up until the time the ball is rolling down the hill so far that you can't stop it anyway. So go ahead and let the people know, because, all right, we got the control, they think. And so anyone over the age of 40 can tell you, yeah, we know exactly what we're looking at when someone suggests we're in the age of lying. It was prophesied by Daniel and John that there would be a final global government that was a church and state mixed together so as to make religious laws legal. And this is what we see with the Roman Catholic Church, that is also Vatican City. That's a sovereign nation. That's the nation of Rome right now. In other words, it's the original church and state beast system that all churches now, and this includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church, by the way, all of them have created their own image of that beast system when they all sign on to their 501c3 so as to also create their own church and state system right here in the United States of America, just as Scripture and Spirit of Prophecy stated. I actually have her quote on the site about how they're going to be joining with the state. And so that's what they did. And they did it because, as was also prophesied, they're all preachers of filthy lucre. And the 501c3, if you sign on to it, you get tax-free status, which means you can buy a house tax-free, you can buy a car tax-free. Automatically the Constitution says my income's tax-free, but so as not to offend, like Jesus taught Peter, I pay taxes at the end of the year. To go through it anyway, well, I'm not going to. I don't need any help from the U.S. government. I need help from my Lord, Savior, and King, and that's where I prefer to be. And so they get their tax-free status, but the only way to get that tax-free status, you have to incorporate. And that term incorporation means you have to join your business with the state. My dad had a 501c3. I think it wasn't charitable. I don't know how he got it. It was because he had a business of trichology and all sort of. Because whenever you sent me to the store to buy stuff, he says, use my tax ID number. There won't be any taxes. I don't know how he got it. Doesn't matter. He got it. He had it. I never had one. Never will. The thing is, the only way to get it is to have to incorporate, which means you have to sign a legal contract that you are in agreement and in business with the state you're in, which means you're joining your church with your state. And because these preachers in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I only mention them because we already know the other ones in the all Protestant churches are all disobedient anyway because they're all keeping Sunday. But the only reason the pastors in the Seventh-day Adventist Church did it is because they didn't see the danger. Why didn't they see the danger? It's just like with these people that leave our number, they start preaching all these crazy prophecies. When you go and embrace sin, the Lord's not going to give you utterance onto the prophetic events that are happening in the world. You just can't see it. He's not going to give you inside information if you're not going to be walking with him. And so that's why a lot of them will echo our sermons and stuff. But that's okay. Somebody's going to get blessed. And so this 501c3 tax-free status has been around since 1954, but it really didn't become... It was an executive order for a while. Clinton set it up as an executive order. Bush, both Bushes. And, of course, it stayed there. You know, an executive order only stays as long as the next president allows it to. Like, if the next president doesn't like the executive order, he'll put it down. Trump did that with a lot of the garbage that Obama put in there. Right, and so, but the 501c3 on December 2nd, 2017, Trump made it permanent law. And since we know the word worship is always present when the mark of the beast is mentioned in prophecy, which then confirms the mark is a religious law, the fix is in. It's in. Hence the reason of the masks first, then the lockdowns, and now the vaccine. They are purposely preparing mankind to agree to do something they know is wrong to do. But then that's a whole nother sermon. For all nations to agree to do this, even though there is ample evidence that the masks don't work from tens of thousands of doctors, the lockdowns harm people and destroy businesses to the point that, like I was saying earlier, the connection with Walmart, well, the reason is the connection is they're connected with the government because, check it out, all the big box stores that pay all sorts of tens of thousands of dollars a year to the U.S. government, have you noticed when there's a lockdown, all the little mom-and-pop stores are locked down, closed? But not Walmart. Not Myers. Nope. And we have documented facts and statements from tens of thousands of real doctors, real scientists, and reputable leaders that are not getting paid to make crazy claims, as we see in the news daily. We can see that all of mankind is being corralled into following the lead of their leaders, be it in the state or the church. Because now it's the same thing with the 501c3. And they're all doing something that they know is a lie so as to avoid harassment. And no, you're not going to go to hell for wearing the mask. Go ahead and wear the mask. Just don't let the mask wear you. There's nothing wrong with wearing the mask, other than I wouldn't wear it for 8 to 10 hours. I mean, you can get sick. But, to avoid being harassed and hassled, sure, there's nothing wrong with it in that respect. But don't let it get to a point that when they start enforcing the mark that, since I've already gotten used to obeying the government to do this, and that, and whatever, go ahead and do that too. Like the vaccine, I wouldn't get it. It's going to have to be forced on me for me to get it, literally. And so just as there's proof the masks don't work, we also have proof right from the Bible that Sunday's not the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. But billions are being moved to comply by circumstance and even by force to wear a mask. They all know it doesn't protect them. It even hurts them physically. They do so to be able to go to a store or even go to work so as to be able to buy and sell what they need to survive. Well, the mark is enforced in the exact same way. All Bible students know there's not a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation that says Sunday is the Sabbath yet. And this is, we've offered $5,000 on my website. There was another preacher that I'm not even going to mention his name. He offered $1 million to anybody that can come up with a Bible verse that says God changed the Sabbath from the seventh day of the work to the first day of the week. And the Vatican even put it in writing in a booklet called Rome's Challenge to Protestants that there is no such Bible verse in saying that Sunday is the Sabbath. But yet billions agree with their wolves they call pastors and their government leaders that it's okay to claim it as a Sabbath because they know in so doing is going to allow them to buy and sell what they need to buy and sell to survive. And so no, the mask or the vaccine's not the mark. It's just their way to get the people to do as they command. And so the people that are prepping are no doubt going to stand in that lot and prep and get them, the mark. I mean, you can wear the mask, just don't let the mask wear you by changing your mind, like when they finally use the same tactics to enforce the mark. And rest assured, they are going to enforce the mark when it's the most inconvenient. And what I mean is, as we know, the Pope wants the mark to be enforced using climate change by the fall of 2027. That's why you got that big old clock out there in New York Square or Times Square or something like that. The timing, the fall of 2027, that timing is no mistake, as it coincides with their pagan festival of Saturnalia or Brumalia or the winter solstice, or most people call it Christmas. And everybody knows about Black Friday and Christmas shopping, do they not? So now do you see why the seven-day remnant people don't even do Christmas? The Lord wasn't kidding when he said the elect are not going to be deceived in Matthew 24:24. The temptation to buy all sorts of Christmas gifts won't be an issue for God's people because we haven't been doing it anyway. And so that's already off our table. Remember what I said earlier in regards to all the, like with the Catholics too, they don't believe everything the Catholic Church teaches, but they believe just enough to keep them on those pews. Well, that even doesn't work with the elect because we stick strictly with Scripture. The mask is nothing more than a means to an end. Satan knows to enforce the mark before moving his victims into compliance via fear or annoyance. It simply won't work. Well, for the educated, the real Christians, and this is especially true if the pastors are not under his thumb to help them. I mean, the truth is the pastors have been manipulated by Satan since 1954 when Lyndon Johnson signed the 501c3 bill. But it took Satan, did you check it out? It took Satan 63 years to make sure all the pastors will be chained into his camp by their lust for money. And so when all of them finally got their 501c3 or 501c4, when Trump made it permanent law, it only took 3 more years because he did that in 2017. It's 2020 now. It only took them 3 years to be able to push ahead with the plandemic that has opened all sorts of doors to enforce the mark of the beast, everything from facial recognition, digital banking, contact tracing, and a host of other control methods. But you wouldn't have any of that there if you didn't already have the pastors echoing whatever the government says. I mean, look at Doug Batchelor. Yeah, get the vaccine. And then someone on the phone calls in and says, there's pig parts in the vaccine. And then he comes up with the excuse, they boil it down to it's probably just trace elements. He just admitted it's still in there. And he goes, but I think it's a good thing. Go ahead and get the vaccine anyway. Why? He's got 3 501c3s. He's not going to mess that up. If he says otherwise, he's going to lose his 501c3. He signed the contract. He knows what's in there. So soon, we're going to see laws making it illegal to go to into a place of business without proof of a vaccine. No, they don't care about anybody's health. I mean, come on. The way vaccines kill and, you know, and physically or mentally cripple millions each year proves that hands down. I was adversely affected by a vaccine I got when I was 10. To this day, I've had problems. But they need an ID system as well as a reason to enforce it, and their plandemic opened those doors to where all they need to do when the timing is right is switch the cameras and the ID cards from looking for people that have COVID-19 to people that break, that refuse to break the true Sabbath of the Creator God, who is soon to come, by the way. Never before in the history of mankind have all nations on earth joined together in any one thing. We got to stop prepping for the flesh. We got to start prepping for the return of the Lord. All the wars and all the political idiocy the last few centuries confirm they're all up to something. Because we know, if you do some research, I actually asked a few years ago if anybody in the church family could do this, because I ain't got time to do this. But I know for a fact, because I did look at some stuff decades ago, every modern day war was started by Jesuits because the people in those nations, the leaders, would not bow to the Pope. So they had to get those people out and put someone in that would. The most recent, I think, was Saddam Hussein. He refused to bow to the Pope. Thought I killed him. So as prophesied, the man of sin in Rome needs to get every political leader and every CEO on the same page. This is why you saw that video I made where I show all the CEOs met with the Pope and all of the political leaders met with the Pope. And notice all the CEOs that met. They're all still in business, aren't they? Myers, Ford Motor Company, Pepsi, Microsoft. Yeah, all the big money, the billionaires, all of those major CEOs. When the lockdowns went down, they could care less. They already made their agreement. They're already locked in. They're not going to have to shut down. So they're all in agreement to do something that the Bible says is not just sin. It's a direct attack against the law of the Creator God himself. That's the law of the land in our city, New Jerusalem. That's our city. And when we look up right now on this planet and looking at the Orion Nebula, where that city is at this point, and we look up and we see all those stars, we know that some of them are planets circling those stars, and we can only see so far because we don't have a telescope. We look up and we think, and we should rightly do this, rightly think, that's all ours. We own all that. Seriously, when we get home and we see the mansion that Jesus made for us, we're allowed to go out and cruise and, you know, travel around. And I mean, come on. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're going to go out and share. That's why you're never going to be bored. He's still going to be making more planets. Oh, I can't wait to get there, I got to tell you. Flying in dreams is fun, but flying there, it's got to be, you know, man, I just can't wait. And so, again, every political leader, every CEO is on the same page so as to make it possible to get every single person in every nation on earth in agreement to do something that the Bible says is not just a sin, but a direct attack against the law of our God himself. The law that's in the throne, under the mercy seat, the Ten Commandments. Satan knows keeping the true Sabbath of the Creator proves the people worship the God of the Bible. And since Satan wants to be worshipped as a God, as we know in the Scriptures, he made his own Sabbath, demanding that all people worship him instead. That's why the many false prophets Jesus spoke of have been saying something to the Sabbath for centuries. But before doing any of this, the lost people, and I'm sorry if I'm going over a little long here, but yeah, this is probably going to have to be three parts because I know it's going to be two parts. I was assuming it would be only two parts, but it's going to be three. But before doing any of this, as I was saying, the lost people of the world must be prepared to play their part in all of this as well. Armageddon, or what happens at the end of plague number six, which is link number six. Oh, that's fitting. It isn't just something that, it isn't something that is planned and carried out in a weekend or 1 year or even in one century. As prophesied, it's to be an orchestrated effort of the followers of Satan for this to work. Satan has been working on Armageddon for 6,000 years. The fact the 501c3 alone took 63 years to gather all the apostate preachers proves all of this was planned long ago. The decades of violent movies, music, video games, and now real-life-in-your-face riots or violence in the streets of the city, as the prophet Ezekiel prophesied would repeat in our day in Ezekiel chapter 7, compile all that with the racism, the religious hatred, and even the citizens fed up by the lack of their necessities in the stores, and soon the shelves will be empty. We could see the people have been slowly but surely conditioned all along to glorify Satan, so that by the time it's ready for them to gather against the people of God at the end of plague number 6, all of them are going to be ready, willing, and able to do whatever Satan demands of them. Because now it's at the tail end of the plagues. They've already guaranteed themselves damnation. They're already absolute puppets of Satan. The fact hundreds of thousands of Americans have already agreed to spy on their own neighbors and family members with high-paying contact tracing jobs with the U.S. government, which, by the way, was how Hitler was able to find all the Jews and the Christians hiding out in his day. Remember the little kids, Hitler's youth? They were turning in their own parents. Those contact tracers today will soon be reassigned to track down the obedient Christians when the mark is enforced. Think about that for a minute. They have already been turning in their friends and neighbors, and even family members all along sometimes. But turning in Sabbath keepers, it's going to be far easier for them, seeing how they don't know anybody that keeps the Sabbath anyway, so it's not going to be like there's going to be any guilt. I don't know that person. Yeah, here, drop a dime. And so with all that said, which was a mouthful, which do you prefer? Being a prepper who seeks to hide out when it gets crazy, only to end up losing it all anyway, because you have to know, even if you're a Sabbath-keeping Christian, you will not be able to hide for long, as this is not just some conspiracy theory or even a government run amok. This is a prophesied event that we are all to witness with our very own eyes. If the Pope gets his wish to enforce the mark of the beast using the so-called disasters brought on by his fabricated climate change as a reason to keep Sunday holy by 2027. And I say fabricated climate change because, as I said earlier, all we see happening with the disasters, the quakes, the floods, the die-offs, you know, like the birds and six animals and fish, or even the crazy society wherein the serial killers, as well as wars and rumors of wars, and Muslims working hand-in-hand with Rome right now to kill over 200,000 Christians each and every year, we know this is not about climate change. That's silly. That's laughable for them to say it. All that's happening was prophesied from Genesis to Revelation to happen the last few years, right before Jesus returns, to put an end to all of this. And with that, I hope and pray that all of us are prepping for the return of Christ so that we can partake in the latter rain and go forth and do what we got to do in the coming days, because it's coming a lot sooner than we thought. A lot of us are getting dreams and other amazing movements of our Father's hand to reveal to us. Yeah, it's closer than we thought. And so I hope and pray we're blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.